from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Accident 01. Drilled right center field. That one back. Is full and the Cubs have unloaded here in inning number three.
Yeah, obviously, just got to continue winning, and I think we're finding ourselves. You know, we know who we are as a team, and you know, we put it on display a lot how good we are, and we did it today. So just keep rolling and keep showing up and playing.
That is Cody Bellinger, who's absolutely on fire, like just outrageous. And it's instructive the way that he has come back from his injury and the way that his offensive production has gone. More on that in a moment. But yeah, Cubs beat the Red Sox 10-4 yesterday and find themselves 500. They are 7 back of the first place Milwaukee Brewers, 6 back of the second place Cincinnati Reds. The Reds have lost 3 in a row. And while the Brewers and the Reds play each other one more time today, the Cubs will finish up with the Boston Red Sox for one more game. And in that game today, it'll be Justin Steele. This is a game the Cubs have to win. Most of them are between now and the deadline. But Justin Steele against Cutter Crawford with a K. Does he throw a cutter with a C? Probably. Most people do. But Cutter with a K, Crawford, is the pitcher. He's got a 4.11 ERA, has started 9 games. This is his 10th start of the year. He goes against Justin Steele. Cubs have to win this and take this series and then move on because their schedule allows for them to go on a hot run here leading up to the trade deadline, and they need to cement their place as viable contenders in their bad National League Central division. Jed Hoyer spoke on Friday and said, among other things, that they want to buy. He pretty much flat out said it. But if things take a turn, that they will pivot. Let's hear that first cut from Jed Hoyer's pregame on Friday. This is 390Y there, Sean Sears. This from Friday, the 31-second cut, talking about how they have to play good baseball over these next 2 weeks. You don't want the data points to get this small and this detailed in a baseball season, but that's where they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we have a couple weeks and a lot of phone calls today, but it just picks up in volume and intensity as we go for the next 2 weeks. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're not about to make any deals today. I think obviously we're going to, you know, see where we are, and our hope certainly is that we play well for the next 2 weeks. But yeah, we'll sort of assess, and I don't want this to be a day-to-day assessment type thing. Like, obviously it's baseball, but, you know, I think, you know, we need to make up ground on first place. We need to make up ground on 500. And I think that's important.
So he says that they're trying to play well, and he hopes they play well. But if not, they'll pivot, and they'll be ready to pivot. And that's the way this roster was built. We've talked about it a lot of times through the course of the season. This roster was built with some players like Cody Bellinger, who could be a sign and flip candidate. Sign him, fix him, and then trade him for a lot. And they would get a lot for that guy. I'm going to Cody Bellinger's game log here because when he came back from injury after hurting his knee there in Houston on the great catch that he made up against the wall. When he came back on June 15th, he had a lot of hits. You remember, there wasn't a home run until July 6th. But in those games from June 15 up until July 5th, Cody Bellinger was hitting it well. He was hitting .317. The slugging was only .367. So the OPS was only .715. And I remember those conversations about, like, well, where's the power? What's going on? And then since that, you know, Cody Bellinger, since July 6th, has homered five times. So his last six games, he's homered five times. He's driven in 10 runs. And overall, when you look at the entire body of work since he came back from injury, the OPS is now over one. It's a slugging percentage of .598. Good hitters who are both average and sluggers hitters need to get their timing down and just make contact at first. And then they're so strong and their swings are naturally strong that as long as they just keep doing that and get dialed in and let their confidence flow, the power will come.
I knew his numbers looked good coming back after like the first couple weeks. I did not know his season numbers. He's nearly 900 OPS. Yeah. He's batting over 300 right now.
Well, and he was there for a long time before the injury. And then after the injury, the batting average was good, but the slugging dropped. So the numbers dropped because the sample size wasn't large. And now he's back to an overall sample. They have fixed Cody Bellinger. They have absolutely figured out a way to do it, and I didn't think it was coming.
We joked about, oh, you know, maybe this happens, or, you know, hey, if the Cubs can find something in Bellinger, it's happened. This
it has
good.
It has absolutely happened. He is good, and he's still a great defensive center fielder. He's a great defensive first baseman. The conversations the Cubs should be having right now are akin to this. Is this sustainable? Like, have we figured out something that Cody can do now for the next 3, 4, 5 years? Because if they have gotten him back to 2019 MVP form and they can keep that going because they've unlocked whatever it is the hell that they've unlocked, then they should invest in him and keep him. What they've unlocked is a simplicity because he's a known tinkerer when things go bad. Bellinger will tinker mechanically. He'll mess with his swing a little bit. And then the mental side gets into play and he will descend a little bit. And you talk to people in LA about what happened over the last 3 years, and he just kept descending and kept tinkering and descending. Cubs haven't had that yet because their first adjustment worked. So they haven't had to deal with kind of the mental spiral and the possible tinkering of Cody Bellinger in a slump. Haven't had to deal with that yet. So it's hard to make an assessment over a guy's entire next few years or body of work. You kind of want him to slump once.
Right.
You know? I mean, so maybe you keep him because you want to see if he slumps and see if you can get him out of it, and then you'll know more by the offseason about whether you want to sign him. This is what I would do. At this point, I mean, unless they drop horribly out of it, I would keep Cody Bellinger. I'd let him play his ass off. I wouldn't go ahead and get whatever you could get from him, even though it could be a lot. I would try to talk to him about, can we have right of first refusal in the offseason? Can we sign you? Are you going to have conversations with us? Because we think you're happy. We're happy with you. We just don't want to do it during the year. That's where I am as of right now today at 12:11 p.m. on Cody Bellinger.
Dude, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, I don't want to see any of these Cubs players go. I don't want to see
I'm ready. I think they should and will trade Marcus Stroman.
And I can understand that argument for sure. I think there's just a bigger argument for a guy like Bellinger, because we talked about it a little bit here before. Like, the guy, you just don't have lefty power that hits lefty hitters.
No, you need it. You need it. It's an incredible currency in the game, and if they have unlocked and found that in a Gold Glove caliber player, he's going to get exceedingly paid, but maybe it should be by you. Do we know where this is from? I see that... Shy Sports Updates, who is an aggregator of note, so...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He says this. I don't know whether to trust it or not. Let's reach out to Bruce before we even share it, because I haven't seen it on Twitter from Bruce Levine. What we're checking, it may have been on Marquis' pregame that he said it, but Daniel Greenberg says that according to Bruce Levine, the Toronto Blue Jays are showing strong interest in trading for Chicago Cubs starting pitcher Marcus Stroman. So the Blue Jays, who had him, look, that's interesting, and of course the Blue Jays probably would be a buyer, and they know Stroman, and if they like him, well, that's a good sign. But here's the problem. Here's the problem for me in that aspect. Do the Blue Jays need a starting pitcher? Do they? I don't. I mean, they're sixth overall in team ERA, are the Toronto Blue Jays. Okay? In terms of just their starting rotation, they are ninth overall in terms of starting pitcher ERA in all of baseball. Kevin Gausman is having a very, very nice year. And is, you know, a world-class pitcher with a 3 ERA. Chris Bassitt has a 4 ERA and has had a lot of good games. Jose Berríos has had a bounce-back year with a 3.41 ERA. Yusei Kikuchi gives up a lot of home runs, but is signed for a lot of money, is a big part of what they do, as a 4.24 ERA. I mean, those guys have all started a lot. And then there's Alek Manoah, who has come back after being sent down to Arizona from, you know, some very, very chaotic appearances. His last time out, he threw 6 innings of 5-hit ball with 1 earned run allowed. That was July 7th. So did Manoah fix himself and come back? That's a Cy Young candidate last year and an All-Star. Do they really need Marcus Stroman? So I find that to be interesting.
Yeah, the only thing that makes sense is him being there, you know, originally.
Yeah,
right?
But in terms of them needing starting pitcher depth, I don't exactly see it. But Bruce is very well sourced, so if he indeed said it, we will back it up. I mentioned for the Cubs, coming up later today, it is Justin Steele against Cutter Crawford. For the White Sox, coming up very soon against the Braves, it is Dylan Cease against Colby Allard. So Colby Allard, excuse me, against Dylan Cease for the White Sox and the Braves. The White Sox, a much more clear position of where they are. All right, let's play this from Tom Glavine, and then we'll take a break and come back and discuss it. But I promised it to you, so I want to give it to you here in segment one. Tom Glavine, one of the all-time best starting pitchers in the history of Major League Baseball, was on with us, Parkins and Spiegel, on Friday. And I asked him about the automated balls and strike system, because does it start with my question or Glavine's answer?
It starts with Glavine's answer.
So I'll set up my question. Thank you, Sean Sears. My question was this. When I think of the automated balls and strike system that's in the minor leagues right now and could be coming to Major League Baseball as soon as next year, if not the year after that, I think of Glavine, because you remember Glavine, don't you, baseball fans? He was a guy who would start with his changeup on the outside corner to right-handers, and he'd throw it right on the edge of the strike zone and get that strike call. And then as the game went on, he would move it a little bit more towards the outside and a little bit more. And he'd get those calls because he's Tom freaking Glavine. And the respect from the umpire is a massive, massive deal. So by the end of the game, by the seventh inning, the eighth inning, Glavine is getting strikes on the outside corner that are like 4, 5, 6 inches off the plate because he's Tom Glavine. Now that is some wizardry and some personal affecting of the strike zone. So maybe it's no surprise that Tom Glavine, not a fan of the possible automated balls and strikes system.
What would the automated balls and strike zone have done to your career, you think?
Well, I guess what they get, one pit or one challenge per at bat. Is that how they're doing it?
Yeah. So something like that.
Yeah, something like that, right? So guys would have to be judicious with their challenges, that's for sure. But, it's funny. I watched the Futures game a little bit the other night, and I didn't love it. I'm on board with a lot of the rule changes that have taken place in baseball. I think it's made the game better this year, no question about it. I just have a problem with that one. I mean, I just think that that's, there is some degree of buying into challenging calls on the bases because, I mean, let's face it, the umpiring and the gamesmanship and all that stuff that goes on, that's always been a part of the game. And I just, as somewhat of a purist, I guess, I just hated seeing that aspect of it go away, right? I mean, so much of what made Bobby Cox a great manager was how he went out and fought for his players and got thrown out of games trying to gain a little bit of an edge for his team. The replay has taken so much of that out of the game. I don't love that. I feel like the automated umpire is going to make it even more so. That's part of the gamesmanship, right? I mean, listen, when I came into the league, I couldn't go out there and first of all, physically do the things I was able to do later in my career as it related to your point of expanding the strike zone. But if I went out there early in my career and I was pitching against Doc Gooden, well, I didn't expect to have the same strike zone as Doc. Doc earned his. I haven't earned anything yet, right? Just like a hitter, some rookie's not going to have the same strike zone that Tony Gwynn does. I mean, it's part of the what you earn and the respect that you gain and all those things. And, whether people want to believe it or not, that's still and always will be a part of the game. I just hate to see the automated strike zone aspect of that take that away, because I do believe there is gamesmanship and whether or not a pitcher on the mound is good enough to establish the fact that he can expand the strike zone and make it hard for an umpire not to call a strike, or a guy who's respected as a hitter who has a really good knowledge of the strike zone, make an umpire think twice about whether or not he's going to call a strike on that guy, knowing his knowledge of the strike zone and his control of the bat and all those things. I just think that's such a fun part of the game that I would hate to see it be lost. But, who knows? And I think, look, baseball's got to be careful, because I think that with the pitch clock and the things that they've done, they addressed a really major problem in the game, which was how long games were taking. Now the games are crisp. There may not necessarily be more action, but there's a whole lot less dead time, and it's made it a way better product to watch on TV. And I just am fearful that aspect, that change, as much as we want to try to get everything right all the time, I'm afraid that change is going to start to hinder the pace of play that's been so good this year.
We think about what the Braves do a lot because they're so aggressive bringing kids up. Michael Harris, after like 200 games, and Spencer Strider, look at the career he's having. Smith Shawver the other day. Is that working across the board, what the Braves are doing? Why has it worked with them, those particular players? Because it's interesting to every other team around the league.
I don't use this term derogatorily at all, because to some extent, a lot of what goes on is, but they've been lucky with some of their picks, right? I mean, it's not to say that other teams aren't doing their work or that the Braves have some formula that's way different than everybody else's. That's why it's working. They've drafted well, and they've been fortunate. Maybe that's a better word. They've been fortunate that the guys that they've drafted, they've developed them, and they've worked out. And again, it's not to say that other teams aren't trying to do the same thing. The Braves just seem to be having a ton of success at doing it. And I think in part two,
I'm gonna make you listen to it.
You look back on my career, my era, the teams I played on, we always had a young player every year that came into the fold, right? I think a lot of people look at some of those teams that I was on, and when they talk about Bobby and managing or whatever, and sometimes it's, well, how hard could it be? They put that same team out there every year, and they were just great. And that wasn't true. We had a lot of turnover every year, and we always had young guys that came up and played every single day. You know, we started with Chipper, and then you had guys like Javi Lopez and Ryan Klesko and other guys that came in and came in as rookie everyday players. Bobby was not afraid to do that. And I think Brian Snitker, being a disciple of Bobby Cox, is not afraid to do it either. But I also think organizationally, you know, they know the guys that can handle it. You know, there are a lot of guys that have a lot of talent that teams maybe are afraid to push a little bit quicker because psychologically they're not sure if they can handle A, the big leagues, or A, struggling in the big leagues. But I think these guys that the Braves have pushed along, not only are they talented, but they're strong mentally. You know, if they go through some tough times, then I think the Braves are confident that A, they're going to be able to handle it, and B, they're going to be able to come out of it.
That's Tom Glavin talking about the young players that the Braves have brought up. Spencer Strider, A.J. Smith, Shauver, Vaughn Grissom. Is Grissom still up in the big leagues?
Yeah, he is.
And of course, Michael Harris II, maybe most prominently. We were looking last week, Sean and I were at the possibility of Pete Crow Armstrong. Go ahead, send him up. Go ahead and do it. Play Bellinger at first, put PCA in center. See if it lights a fire a little bit. He hasn't played as many games as even Michael Harris played in the minors. Michael Harris, one of the faster promotions to the majors that we've seen in a long, long time in baseball, and PCA is still like 30 games shy of that. 670 The Score is where you are. Matt Spiegel is who you are with. When we come back, we will get you ready for Cubs and Red Sox, the finale, and we're going to play something that happened on yesterday's radio broadcast, and I will be absolutely green, not with nausea, but with envy. Next on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Spring training in the area where the pitchers work out, and there was a ton of...
Oh, there's a ton of power there. That's going to be a long home run! Kyle Schwarber's just tied this game up. Oh, man! That went over the brick wall onto the back concourse. That is a mammoth home run. It's a 3-3 game.
Kyle Schwarber yesterday. He go boom. In game one of a doubleheader sweep by the Philadelphia Phillies, Schwarber with the game-tying solo homer in the seventh. And then in game two of the doubleheader sweep of the Padres by the Phillies, Schwarber was up as the Phillies were trailing in the fifth.
Congratulations, young man. One of many, many, many. Yep.
Kyle Schwarber sends one out toward right field. It is gone! Into the first row, a lofting three-run home run! And the Phillies have taken the lead. It's a 4-2 game. You want to talk about changing the course of a game?
He's Babe Effin' Ruth. That's what we were told all those years ago. And when he plays like that, Phillies are good. Actually, in the doubleheader, Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner combined went 7-for-18 with a double, two homers, seven RBIs, and two walks. When they do that, and then you get Castellanos and Bryce Harper and Real Muto and Alec Bohm, well, the Phillies have been rolling of late, and they are right now 8 games over .500. And obviously a terrifying team come the postseason, as we have seen before. As it stands right now, they're a game back of the Giants for the final wild card spot. It is Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel. Cubs pregame coming up in a little bit. Mike Esposito has your pregame coming up. And then it is Zach Zaidman and Pat Hughes together, the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes. And I was lucky enough to go say hello to those guys along with my wife and some pals yesterday. They're so warm. The booth is always great and warm and welcoming. And Pat just couldn't have been nicer. He's a mensch, as I told him. And here's the thing. Gabe told me, it was great to see Gabe Ramirez yesterday. He told me that they were doing the seventh inning stretch and that Gabe was going to be involved in getting to sing the seventh inning stretch. And I was, jealous.
No, not you.
Never done that, man. That's amazing.
I was jealous of it too.
I mean, who couldn't be? It's an all-timer of a thing. Pat was talking about it. Before they had a chance to do it, Pat Hughes talking about the stretch upcoming with Zach and Gabe.
I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous. We're two outs away from shocking the crowd here at Wrigley Field, Pat.
You're going to be fine, Zach, and so is Gabe Ramirez. It's me I'm worried about. One thing I've learned, and I've sung it every year at least once or twice for almost three decades now, very rarely do people recall those performances. The words memorable almost never come up.
Well, let's hope this isn't memorable for the wrong reasons, right?
Yeah, no, you don't want a Mike Ditka situation or an Ozzy Osbourne situation or a Matt Nagy situation. We only remember the bad ones. You know what I love? Steve Mongo McMichael pointing down at Angel Hernandez and talking about the terrible calls, and Hernandez points back up and throws Mongo out of the game. Amazing. So, no, that's memorable in a good way, but you don't want to be memorable in a bad way. I thought they sounded great. Let's hear it.
And guess what, guys? It's time to conduct the stretch at Wrigley Field.
Sport, take me out to the ball game. Chicago Cubs radio broadcasters Gabe Ramirez, Zach Zaidman, and Ford C. Frick Award winner Pat Hughes.
All right. Nice and loud. Let me hear you. A one, a two, a three.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, so it's
root, root for the
if they don't win, it's a shame. Stretch your out at the old ball game.
Thank you. Let's get some runs.
Thought that was delightful. No problems. I couldn't tell who was Pat, who was Zach, and who was Gabe. They fused into one magical, melodious organism all its own. It was Pat Zach Gabe. Pat Gabe Zach. Pat Gabe Zach. Pat Gabe Zach. Is that the best one? Pat Gabe Zach. Anyway, they sounded good, and the crowd is happy. Everybody's singing. Everybody's dancing. Swaying, even. Much like the young call screener on the other side of the glass. Swaying. And the Cubs were winning, so all was well. Here's how they talked about it afterwards.
So that'll bring up Christopher Morel. By the way, how did we do? And that was quite a stretch.
I got to say, my mom is really happy about this, guys. I got to be. she thinks you guys did promising. A great job.
That's promising. I was hoping that they were going to let us keep the microphones after, you know, pouring our hearts out the way we did.
Well, I'm glad Mrs. Ramirez liked it. That's half the battle right there.
I thought Gabe kind of carried the show.
He did. What a voice.
What a voice.
Good for you, Gabe. Gabe's a lovely, lovely guy. Mrs. Ramirez liked the stretch. That's good news for everybody involved. As a texter says, Speaks, they get to sing a song, but you get to call a Cardinals series. I think you're doing okay. That's true. Another one, Speaks, you get a three-day concert at Wrigley next weekend. That's true. Another one, Spiggs, yeah, but who can say they got to umpire a ceremonial first pitch, LOL. God love you for remembering that. When Danny Parkins threw out the first pitch, I was able to umpire it. I was able to stand behind Clark the Cub and signal strike, very wide strike zone by me. I mean, like Eric Gregg style, wide, irrational strike zone. I totally gave in to the pressure of the moment and called a strike for my radio partner. I don't know if he deserved it. But
it's a good teammate. You're a good teammate.
I think so. It's a point where you're not alone as an umpire. So I actually did it. You know who would have liked that call? Tom Glavine would have liked that call because I was letting the subjectivity of who was pitching affect my strike zone. Automated balls and strike would not like it. A texter, I love this one. I'm a grumpy old man. But I cannot get on board with Tom Glavine's take on the automated balls and strike system. The older veteran pitchers that have earned the respect also should be better at being in the strike zone and at the very least getting the batter to swing. There should not be a different strike zone dependent upon how long you've been in the league or whether or not the ump likes you as a pitcher, whether or not the catcher or the batter has pissed him off. Hear, hear, sir. Hear, hear. It will change the nature of the game. It will change the personality of it and the subjectivity of it. But I think that is probably the right thing to do. Because if we can all see it at home, what the strike zone is, and everybody knows what it is, then it shouldn't be a question. It shouldn't be completely and utterly subjective. I think the way they have it as a challenge system in the minors is the best way. And you can get a look at that. One note, reminder that not all of those K-zones are 100% correct. Nico Horner, among others, has told us how sometimes he's watching that. He's like, whoa, they didn't adjust the height. What the hell are they doing? But Boog Shambi contends that the one on Marquee is correct, that one is locked and loaded. So they'll have to get the technology up in line and they'll have to normalize it across all of baseball before they indeed do get there. Want to thank our guests on the show. Boston Ricky was terrific talking Fenway and Wrigley.
Chris, happy birthday, Ricky.
Chris Kampka, yeah, happy birthday, man. Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago was terrific. Keith Law from The Athletic was terrific. Chuck Garfine from the White Sox pre- and post-game show was terrific. Sean Sears is the goods. Enjoying working with Sean very much. And the associate producer, Ruben Spiegel, was pretty solid.
Best screener out here, man.
I mean, the way that he summarizes what the caller's vibes are, even there's a person who called about 30 minutes ago, and Ruben simply wrote, can't understand him in the subject area. And that's great. I mean, that makes it pretty clear. Don't take that call.
Man after my own heart, man.
Yeah. But Ruben, what did you learn today? What did you learn?
Well, I learned that a lot of people can go on the radio, but some people, if you can't understand them, you can't understand them.
Right, but you also learned that one guy who sounded like he was drunk, he wasn't drunk.
Yes.
So you got to keep talking to people and figure it out. He said he hadn't had a drink in a year. He was just angry and agitated.
Well, I'm very sorry, Mr. Person.
Tracy in Calumet City.
Yes. I'm very sorry, Tracy.
Apology accepted. Thank you, Ruben. Have a great day.
You too.
Have a great day, everyone. Cubs baseball is up next with Pat Hughes and Zach Zaidman and Mike Esposito doing pregame right here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.